This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, Tulsi Gabbard and Bobby Kennedy both advanced today out of the Senate committee. Yes, that's right. Big win. Big win today for both of those nominees. Honor the full Senate for their confirmation. They're both going to get in, by the way. They will both get confirmed. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Busy day today. So a couple things that are going to be happening. So in a few minutes, we're going to get some video, and we'll play it live for you, of President Trump talking about Iran. So we're on standby for that. Later in the show, there's going to be a joint news conference between President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. Netanyahu becomes the first head of state to visit President Trump as president in the White House for the second term. And so before that meeting, the president may have made some remarks on Iran and not having a nuclear weapon. Those remarks will be coming out shortly. We'll grab them for you and we'll play them live. But it's a busy day all around because there's more stuff coming out about USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. And there's more and more stuff coming out about Phil Murphy, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable. Is he or is he not harboring an illegal immigrant above his garage? Yes or no? And is this person maybe on the Murphy family payroll? Because now everybody's wondering that. Is this like your royal jester? Perhaps this person is, because every king needs a jester, you know. I mean, immediately people assume housekeeper or gardener or something like that. No, a jester. That's my guess. This is an illegal immigrant, possibly from Canada. Because they have very funny people up in Canada. Here to entertain the king. You know, because good jester, you know, lots of folly. And so what I'm guessing is that's who this person is above Murphy's garage. And he doesn't want to pay this jester. Is he paying him under the table? You know what I mean? Like any good king doesn't want to pay taxes to himself. That's why he has you, peasants. That's why he has you. We'll find out. Tom Holman said, listen, if you're harboring an illegal immigrant, we're going to come. We're going to find you. We're going to arrest you. I don't really give a damn if you're the governor of New Jersey or not. And so then today, the governor's office kind of backtracked a little bit. And they were like, well, no, I mean, he doesn't really have an illegal immigrant above his garage. It's just hyperbole. So what is it? Does he have an illegal court jester above his garage or not? My sense of it yesterday was that Murphy does, and he wants Trump to come try to arrest him, and he wants to make some bold stance here to help elevate him into the national pack for 2028, because that guy's running for president. I asked you on the show yesterday, the question is, who is a bigger grandstander, Is it Phil Murphy for harboring an illegal immigrant above his garage, or Josh Shapiro for saying, if you come through Punxsutawney Phil, you better come through me, the Pennsylvania State Police, the Pennsylvania National Guard, every Pennsylvanian, you know, and his roaring Southern Barack Obama foghorn leghorn impression. So which is it? We'll find out. But on Capitol Hill today, the big news, and this is the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Reach out to Dr. Mike today. Tulsi and RFK both clearing the big hurdles in the Senate committees for the full report before the United States Senate. And whatever Republican holdouts were left, they're gone. But you know what's amazing is Bernie Sanders voted against Bobby Kennedy. Yes, he did. He voted against Bobby Kennedy. And I tweeted this out and I said, with his whole statement that he put out about how he cannot in good conscience vote for somebody like this. And I just retweeted it and I said, dear Bernie, thank you. Love Big Pharma. And that's the amazing part about this. This guy has been going after pharmaceutical billionaires and millionaires for years. But when it comes down to it, he stands with them if it means opposing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And that's what he did. And that's what he did today. Not surprising, by the way. Nobody should be surprised by that. Nobody should be surprised because this is all about money. A little bit later in the show today, we'll talk to our buddy Paul Thacker about this. He had a great tweet on this when he said, let's not pretend like this was anything about vaccines or anything else. This was entirely about money because the stocks of some of these big pharmaceuticals have plummeted since RFK's nomination advanced. And who knows? Maybe they'll still try to stop him before he gets through. But that's pretty much might be an impossible battle for them at this point. I think he's good to go. I really do. I think he's good to go. So that's great news. And yes, Pam Bondi will be approved tomorrow. She will get through. I think ultimately Kash Patel will get through. I think everybody's going to get through. I don't think any of Trump's nominees are going to get rejected. In fact, CNN even analyzed that. And even CNN had to say, in a word, Trump is winning. His nominees are getting through, period. And it's just, I don't think Washington, the establishment, I think they just completely forgot what it was like. And 2016 was very different because you remember back in 2016 or 2017, I should say, when Trump became president, there were all these people in his orbit who were working to stop him. It's like the Republican establishment back then was very anti-Trump. And somehow he manages to get through the primary when there's 17 candidates on the stage and the Republican establishment was all behind Jeb! Exclamation mark. And then he becomes president. They can't believe it. So they all get dispatched to the White House to try to stop him, to try to redirect him towards the Republican mainstream. That doesn't work out too well for anybody, obviously. And that's gone now. You know what I mean? And plus, back then, the Democrats were committed to trying to stop him in every way. The deep state was trying to stop him. Not that they're not trying to stop him now, but you see, Trump knows what they're capable of doing now. He didn't. I mean, he was a rookie back then. So it's just been an onslaught. I don't think the Washington press corps was expecting this. I don't think the Washington establishment was expecting this. This bulldozing that he's doing, because I think they forgot. I think maybe they thought they could stop him again. You know, maybe they thought they could undermine him again. Who knows? But they're not having that effect. They're not having that effect. Not even close. But I mean, Bernie, but for Bernie, though, to come out and to oppose Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is just laughable. Isn't it laughable? Oh, and the outrage about the 90-day suspension of the United States Agency for International Development from the left is affront for the Central Intelligence Agency. Let's be very clear what this is. I broke this down for you in great detail yesterday in the 6 o'clock hour. I spent a good 25 minutes on it. So if you missed it, go back and listen to it. But there's no doubt the United States Agency for International Development is a front for the Central Intelligence Agency. It is how the deep state is able to get its money to all these countries around the world to do its bidding under the guise of charity, under the guise of humanitarian aid. And in the same time, it's been enabling the Bond villains. And don't get distracted by all the woke crap that the USAID has been engaged in. Yes, there's been a lot of it. But that's also a distraction from what the primary goal is, which is for the Central Intelligence Agency to infiltrate these countries and not have their fingerprints on it because they're given lots and lots of money, given lots and lots of cash. And in doing so, they're able to influence hearts and minds, hearts and minds. But more is going to come out on this every day now, like a slow trickle on this agency that has people like Bill Gates coming out and going, oh, come on, they do great work. They give money to the same places I do. Yeah, that's not that should be surprising to nobody. Bill Gates is part of the Bond villains at the WEF, the cabal of people at Davos who try to control the universe and control the world, and with all their climate change agendas and their big vaccine agendas and their gain of function research agendas and everything else. So that doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't be surprised if when Bill Gates dies 75 years later, our great grandkids will find out that he was part of the CIA. Would anybody be surprised by that? No, not in the least. That'd be the least surprising thing that they would find out of all the stuff that's going to come out. But nevertheless, today he was on The View lamenting all the great work USAID does. So judge people by the outrage. Judge these things by the outrage. If the left is outraged by it, then you know that Trump is onto something. You know that the people who are trying to expose this are onto something. Because the very same people that at one point in the left were anti-establishment, people like Bernie Sanders, who used to trash Big Pharma, who used to be anti-war, these guys are all in now on whatever the agenda is. Bernie Sanders he was a signatory to a letter calling on Biden to negotiate a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. Remember that? Where did that go? Nowhere. And that letter disappeared like it never happened. It's amazing what happens when the establishment gets to these people. And I don't know, maybe they've got, who knows what they have on all these people, but they got something on everybody. They have files and dossiers. But Tulsi and RFK Jr. will get through because the holdouts in the Republican Party have heard from you. People were flooding the Senate. The phone system crashed on the United States Senate because people were calling them and saying, you better confirm Trump's nominees. The guy won. He deserves to have his people in there. And he deserves to have the disruptors that are going to disrupt, just like all of us. So when I hear people screaming about USAID, when I hear people screaming about Tulsi Gabbard, when I hear people screaming about Bobby Kennedy, I know we are on the right track. We are on the right track, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I love it. I really do. I love it. So, stepping back for a second and thinking about what Tulsi Gabbard means and then who's most upset by this, you got to go to the deep state hero, John Brennan. So John Brennan, of course, was the guy who was the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And there's a great movie on Amazon Prime, if you're a Prime member. It's called The Report. I've talked about this before on the show. It's all about when the bipartisan Senate committee looked into the enhanced interrogation / torture that was going on in the Bush years. It was led by Dianne Feinstein, but it was a bipartisan committee. People were trying to figure out what exactly was happening here. So they set up a SCIF, which is a secure room, and they had all these files in there, and they were doing all this work trying to understand everything that happened with regards to torture. John Brennan, as head of the CIA under Barack Obama, breaks into the SCIF and seizes everything, breaks the law, commits all kinds of flagrant violations of federal law. Nothing happens to the guy, and now he's a hero. He was the guy who was the architect of torture, the architect of spying on American citizens, a CIA deep state hack, and one of the signatories to the 51 former national intelligence officials who all said the Hunter Biden laptop was nothing more than Russian disinformation, okay? So let's cue up cut 24. You know that John Brennan, if he's upset with Tulsi Gabbard getting in there, you know this is a good thing. You know that Tulsi Gabbard is going to expose the crap that this guy was doing to destroy civil liberties in the United States of America. The kind of stuff that John Brennan was doing that the left used to scream about. It's like, I can't stand the hypocrisy of these people. When you think about how at one point, Dick Cheney was a war criminal. John Brennan was a war criminal. And this guy should have gone to jail. Now these people are all heroes. All you got to do is just be against whatever Trump's for, and then you get a seat at the table on MSNBC or CNN or whatever else. So John Brennan, the guy who broke into the SCIF, on a joint Senate committee chaired by Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein to look into torture, speaking with Andrea Mitchell today, warning about Tulsi Gabbard, cut 24.
And talking also about Gabbard, she's going to be, if she's confirmed, DNI. The CIA has the man and woman power, have the troops to operate in the field. They've got the analysts. The DNI coordinates, but does handle the final edit on the presidential daily brief that is produced by CIA, and the briefer gets appointed. So she's a lot to say about what information actually gets to the president of the United States. What are the risks there?
I think there's significant risk because this president's daily brief, the PDB, which goes to the White House and goes to two or three dozen senior officials, it provides the insights, the intelligence, the analysis that is necessary to understand exactly what is happening around the globe. And if you don't ensure that the PDB is going to contain the best information, the most accurate, the most honest information, irrespective of what the policy druthers might be of the White House, you're really doing a disservice to the American people. So again, I know that the men and women throughout the intelligence community and at CIA just want to make sure that they're able to do their jobs, again, with the integrity that I think has been the hallmark of their profession over the last, 75 years.
The integrity, like colluding to all say the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation orchestrated by the CIA, orchestrated by Antony Blinken, Mike Morrell, with 51 former national security hacks to go out there and lie to the American public and influence an election and effectively perform a coup d'etat against the president of the United States, Donald Trump. That kind of integrity. Kind of integrity to break into a skiff and look at the Joint Senate Committee's research on torture, because Barack Obama is not happy about the truth coming out. I know it's easy to think that it was just a Bush effort, but it was happening under Obama, too. Mr. Drone Strikes, Barack Obama. But anyway, that's the integrity that we need. The other integrity we need is at the FBI, of course. And John Brennan's not happy that Kash Patel's going to be there either, because they've been able to keep this country safe, the FBI. Safe from moms at school board meetings who might be angry about their kids having to wear masks or that their kids are reading pornography in kindergarten. Safe from Catholics praying in Latin. Safe from people praying at abortion clinics. Safe. Safe from former presidents by going through the former first lady's underwear draw. All right, can't blame him for that. That one's all right. That one, we all would have done that if we had had the chance. But anyway, cut 24. I'm sorry, 25.
Well, I think it's had a traumatic effect on the FBI in terms of trying to find out who might have been working on any of these cases. And as we know, FBI agents don't get to choose and select which cases they want to work on. They get selected and assigned to these cases. And, they have done such heroic work trying to ensure that this country stays strong, goes after various terrorist organizations, foreign adversaries, and others, and to politicize this process and this bureau, I think really is quite disturbing. And I know a lot of these individuals, yes, they're concerned about their own personal situation and whether or not they're going to be fired and what does it mean for their personal lives. But they also are very worried about the rule of law and the cases that they've been working on and the disruption that this is going to cause to these cases. So we are in a very precarious moment here, I think, in our history. And I think the bureau, the FBI, which is one of the real pillars that has been able to keep this country safe and strong over the years, I think is being subjected to unprecedented challenges right now.
Keep us safe from all those moms in yoga pants at school board meetings. Oh, those pesky domestic violent extremists at Cabela's buying fishing hats and fishing poles and guns, which, of course, they can buy because it's America. That FBI, the same one that helped do a fake kidnapping plot against Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. The FBI officials who may or may not have been part of January 6th, I don't know, may have used undercover operatives. We don't know the answer to that question. That FBI. Look, I know there's great agents out there, but what we're talking about are the people at the top, and John Brennan knows that. And we know that the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop in its possession since 2019 and never bothered to tell anybody it was authentic. No, in fact, they gave a heads up that the story was coming, and then they went to social media because they were spying on Rudy Giuliani at the time for a case they never filed charges against. So when Rudy Giuliani was talking to Miranda Devine, that's when the FBI tipped off big tech and said, hey, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. So then big tech does what it always does, the unholy triad, big tech, government, and the corporate media, and they all circle the wagons to say the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. That FBI that helped overthrow a president of the United States of America and also help Joe Biden become president and hid his corruption from the American people during what would have been a very, very close election. So judge people by their enemies. I mean, if John Brennan's upset, then I think Tulsi Gabbard's the right person. If John Brennan's upset, I think Cash Patel's the right person. John Brennan should be in prison. He should. He should be in prison. Next to James Clapper, who's another one who's always on TV just trashing Trump, a hero to the left. Oh, these people are, they're absolutely infuriating to me. James Clapper says to Senator Rand Paul and the other senators when it was asked point blank, are you spying on the American people? And he says, no. Under oath, that was perjury. That was a lie. Nothing ever happened to him. See, Edward Snowden, who exposed the fact that our government was spying on the American people, who exposed the fact that the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution was being destroyed and abused by our own government, by people like James Clapper and John Brennan and other people in the deep state, that guy who we're now arguing about, the Fugazi argument about Edward Snowden and whether or not Tulsi Gabbard was tough enough on him during her confirmation hearing by saying whether or not he was a traitor or not. Let's be perfectly clear here. If these Republicans had their way, they would all vote against Tulsi Gabbard. If they had their way, they would all vote against Bobby Kennedy. If they had their way, they would all vote against Cash Patel. None of them want them there. Now, I mean, none of them. I mean, the ones that are on the fence, the ones like Susan Collins and the others who have now come to see the light. The only thing is they've heard you and they know that if they go against Trump on this, you're coming and you got receipts, baby. And they're going to have the primary of their lifetime if they don't get in line. But do not believe for a second that they want to vote for these people. Mitch McConnell does not. He wants to hide his little turtleneck back into the shell and scutter off. Susan Collins doesn't want to. None of them do. But they're worried. They're very, very worried. Oh, yes, they are. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Big show for you today. A lot of great guests. Dr. Wilfred Riley is going to be here. Paul Thacker is going to be here. We've got some breaking news coming out of the White House momentarily. We're streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we may see the end of the Department of Education very, very soon. Our buddy Caroline Levitt hinted at that this morning on Fox and Friends when she said, I think President Trump's going to carry out that promise. So it has to be done. First of all, it takes an act of Congress, but there's certain things that he can, as the executive, get rid of. So it's going to be done in stages, but I think we're going to see the end of the Department of Education on the federal level. Bravo to that. All right, let's dip into the White House right now. President Trump signing executive orders, and he's also going to speaking on Iran. This happened moments ago at the White House, but they're bringing it to us after it happens, and the press is in the Oval Office again. Have you ever seen a president this accessible before? Such a freaking dictator, am I right? Take a listen.
Thank you very much. We had a busy day. We're dealing with lots of different people and lots of different things. We had some terrific people in today and trying to solve some of the problems that are going on in the country and outside of the country. We're doing very well with respect to other countries really behaving on taking the criminals that they sent into our country, and we're getting them out. These are some of the worst people on earth, and they're getting out and they're being accepted back in their countries, as you've heard, without exception. So a lot of people thought that was not going to happen, but it's happening very full force. Now we're getting some very, very dangerous people out of our country, which is very important. Will, perhaps we'll go through the first one, please.
Yes, sir. So earlier today, before the press came in, you signed a commission appointing Chris Wright to be your next Secretary of Energy. We have another commission prepared for your signature, sir. This is Doug Collins to be Secretary of the VA, Doug Collins of Georgia.
Two very good men. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Next up, in light of numerous actions taken by a number of bodies of the United Nations, which exhibited deep anti-American bias, we have an executive order prepared for your attention that would withdraw the United States from the UN Human Rights Council, would withdraw
Good.
The United States from the UNRWA, which is
Great.
A refugee organization, and would also review American involvement in UNESCO, which has also exhibited anti-American bias. More generally, the executive order calls for a review of American involvement and funding in the UN in light of the wild disparities in levels of funding among different countries that, as you've expressed previously, is deeply unfair to the United States.
So I've always felt that the UN has tremendous potential. It's not living up to that potential right now. It really isn't. Hasn't for a long time. It has. There are great hopes for it. But it's not being well run, to be honest, and they're not doing the job. A lot of these conflicts that we're working on should be settled, or at least we should have some help in settling them. We never seem to get help. That should be the primary purpose of the UN, the United Nations. And again, it's got great potential, and based on the potential, we'll continue to go along with it, but they got to get their act together.
This is good stuff, by the way. These committees are horrible.
Countries that deserve fairness. They have some countries, as you know, that are outliers, that are very bad, and they're being almost preferred as countries to those that do their job and are doing a good job. And they have to really, they're going to end up losing a lot of countries. They're going to end up losing their credibility like other organizations, and then they're going to be nothing. The potential of the United Nations, and not everybody agrees with me on this, the potential of the United Nations is fantastic if properly run. So we'll see what happens.
How much money are you willing to take away from them?
Well, we're taking away a little bit, but we're not looking to take away money. This is so important that we're really, as you know, the United Nations is largely funded by us. But and it shouldn't be. It should be funded by everybody. But we're disproportionate, as we always seem to be. But it's something that if it ever lived up to the potential, in 10 minutes, it would make up the difference. That's the kind of power it could have. Right now, it doesn't have that power.
Next, sir, this is a national security presidential memorandum that seeks to impose maximum pressure on the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Many of these provisions are similar to actions that your administration took during your first administration. The basic idea here is to have every department and agency, or many departments and agencies in your government attempt to sanction and control Iranian activities, particularly relating to the Iranian nuclear program and the Iranian export of terrorism through support of various proxy groups abroad. And the intent here is to give you all of the possible tools to engage with the Iranian government to ensure that going forward they are less of a malign actor on the world stage.
So this is one that I'm torn about. Everybody wants me to sign it. I'll do that. It's very tough on Iran. It's what we had before. We would have never had the problem. You would have never had October 7th. We would have never had the problem had the election gone the different way, which it should have. But this one, I think, more than made up for it. I think we're doing things that it shows that more than made up for it, much more historic. The Iran situation, hopefully, I'm going to sign it, but hopefully we're not going to have to use it very much. We will see whether or not we can arrange or work out a deal with Iran and everybody can live together. And maybe that's possible and maybe it's not possible. So I'm signing this and I'm unhappy to do it. But I really have not so much choice because we have to be strong and firm. And I hope that it's not going to have to be used in any great measure at all. It'd be great if we could have a Middle East and maybe a world at total peace. Right now, you don't have that. When I left, you had peace all over the world. And now you have the world is blowing up. As you know, Bibi is coming in to see me later. Others are coming in to see me. We'll see what we can do. But I'm signing this, and hopefully it will be a document which won't be very important, will hardly have to be used.
So what kind of deal would you be prepared to?
Well, we're going to see. They cannot have a nuclear weapon. With me, it's very simple. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. We don't want to be tough on Iran. We don't want to be tough on anybody, but they just can't have a nuclear weapon.
Mr. President, are you going to engage in conversations with your counterpart in Iran?
I would.
Do you want to block the sale of Iranian oil to other nations?
Well, we have the right to do that, and that's what I did before. And they had no money. They wouldn't have had the money for Hamas or Hezbollah or anybody else. It could have been solved. This thing, it just... If things went the way they should have, this would have been over long ago. But it's not over.
How close do you think Iran is to developing a nuclear weapon?
I think they're close. They're too close. But again, you could go back 4 years. I would have said they would have had it during this intervening period. But they're pretty close, Peter.
And why is Iran happy to sign it if it's Iran and their proxies who have threatened to retaliate against you and your team by killing you guys for taking out Soleimani?
Well, they haven't done that, and that would be a terrible thing for them to do, not because of me. If they did that, they would be obliterated. That would be the end. I've left instructions. If they do it, they get obliterated. There won't be anything left. And they shouldn't be able to do it. And Biden should have said that, but he never did. I don't know why, lack of intelligence, perhaps. But he never said it. If that happens to a leader, or close to a leader, frankly, if you had other people involved also, you would call for total obliteration of a state that did it. That would include Iran. So I'm signing this, and it's a very powerful document, but hopefully we're not going to have to...
Mr. President, if the Prime Minister today were to ask your help in striking at Iran's nuclear facilities to prevent the kind of progress towards a nuclear weapon, would you give him the green light? Would you, either to do it himself or for the U.S. to participate with him?
I don't know that that's what he's going to be asking for. I have no idea that it is. You're telling me. We're going to have a pretty long meeting. We're going to be discussing a lot of things, not only that, but a lot of things. And I'll let you know if the time comes to let you know. But right now, that's not something that I can discuss.
Mr. President, when you said if they do, they get obliterated. Just to be clear, you're talking about if Iran made an attempt on your life.
Yeah, that would be called total obliteration. And I can't imagine they do that. It should have been stated by Biden. But he didn't state it because he had no clue, as everybody knows.
What is your vision, actually, for relationship
with
Iran?
Do you have anything else?
No, that's all we have.
My vision for what?
Your relationship with Iran. And would you?
I'd love to have a good relationship with everybody. They can't have a nuclear weapon. That was my only, that was the only thing that was very important. They can't have a nuclear weapon. Beyond that, you know, we'd be very tough if they insist on doing that. They have some of their leadership, I can tell you right now, and maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but there are many people at the top ranks of Iran that do not want to have a nuclear weapon just for that very reason.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to China's retaliatory tariffs?
That's fine. It's fine. We're going to do very well against China and against everybody else. Right now, they've taken advantage of the Biden administration like I've never seen. I've never seen. The deficit with China is about $1 trillion. Think of it, $1 trillion. They're using our money to build their military.
Is President Trump speaking in the Oval Office right now?
And by the way, that happened. You know, we're taking a lot of fires here. We came back. This is like a different place. The good news is we're doing very well. We're doing well with countries that nobody expected we'd do well with. We are respected again as a nation. Maybe at a level that people haven't seen for many, many decades. But when I left, we didn't have any wars. I defeated ISIS, 100% of the ISIS caliphate. And now the world seems to be ready to blow up, but we'll see if we can stop it.
Have you reached out to the Iranians about any kind of deal to start those
discussions? I would reach out. I mean, I have nothing. I'm one that doesn't care whether I reach out or they reach out. A lot of people say, let them reach out, sir. And to me, it doesn't matter. It's just talk. I want to see everybody do well. I want to see great countries, and I want to see peace in the Middle East and elsewhere. We're also working very hard with respect to Russia, Ukraine. It's a bloodbath. It's a total bloodbath. What's going on there is incredible. What's going on with the soldiers, young soldiers being killed by the thousands. I mean, literally by the thousands. And we want to see if we can get that stopped. And I think we've had some very good talks.
Any update on when you would speak to President Xi, sir? Any update on when you would speak to President Xi?
No, we'll speak to him at the appropriate time. I'm in no rush.
Do you think that conversation can lend itself to the type of freeze that it meant for the tariffs for Canada and
well,
Mexico?
Well, we'll see what happens. Well, there's a short-term freeze with Mexico, right, as you know, and with Canada. But they've agreed to be very, very strong on the border, stronger than they ever were by far, by a factor of about 30. And in addition to that, as you can see, we've been strong because we've had numbers like you've never seen before. I mean, the border is now closed, really closed. And with that being said, we're letting good people come through, and we want good people to come into our country. But the border is closed.
In your talks with Prime Minister Netanyahu today, do you intend to press him about how many deaths have been amongst Palestinians? Are you concerned about that death?
I talk about that, too. Both sides mean a lot. I talk about that. I talk about the other side. I talk about everything.
What's your main message to him today during your meeting?
Well, I'm here to listen. He's here to see me, and I'm here to listen. So,
Will you continue to press for this idea that Jordan and Egypt take Palestinians from Gaza?
Yeah, I would like to see Jordan. I'd like to see Egypt take some. Look, the Gaza thing has not worked. It's never worked. And I feel very differently about Gaza than a lot of people. I think they should get a good, fresh, beautiful piece of land, and we get some people to put up the money to build it and make it nice and make it habitable and enjoyable and make it a home.
They don't want to leave, though. How can you say they don't want to leave?
I don't know how they could want to stay. It's a demolition site. It's a pure demolition site. If we could find the right piece of land or numerous pieces of land and build them some really nice places with plenty of money in the area, that's for sure. I think that would be a lot better than going back to Gaza, which has had just decades and decades of death.
Where would those pieces of land be?
Well, they could be in Jordan, and they could be in Egypt, and they could be in other places. You could have more than two, more than one, but you could have more than two. And you'd have people living in a place that could be very beautiful and safe and nice. Gaza's been a disaster for decades.
Would the U.S. pay for that?
I don't think you would pay,
but I think there's plenty of people that would in the area. They have a lot of money. They certainly have a lot of money. Some of the countries over there, they'd like to see it. I know that Saudi Arabia wants to see peace. I can see that. And many of the countries there, as far as I'm concerned, they all want peace. I think, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think Iran would like to see peace, too. They've had enough. Don't you think they've had enough?
But the leaders of Egypt and Jordan have said,
that would be nice.
Have no interest in
right?
Well, they may have said that, but a lot of people said things to me. They said they wouldn't take anybody back in Venezuela, and right now they're flying them right back into Venezuela. And a lot of people, and they're doing the right thing in Venezuela. The Panama Canal is an active discussion right now. They said things about that. And virtually everything that's been said has been incorrectly stated based on the result.
Would that amount to forcibly displacing those people from Gaza?
I don't think so. I think if they had the opportunity, they'd love them. If they had an alternative to Gaza, they have no alternative right now. I mean, they're there because they have no alternative. What do they have? It is a big pile of rubble right now. I mean, have you seen the pictures of it? Have you been there? It's terrible to live. Who can live like that? And very dangerous. There's shooting all over the place. There's bombing all over the place on both sides. Now, I would think if they had an option of moving to an area, either in a large group or various smaller groups to take care of the close to 2 million people, I would think that they would be thrilled to do it. They have no, you know, when you say about the Gaza Strip, they don't have an option.
To be clear, you're saying they'd be thrilled.
Very dangerous.
They'd be thrilled to leave Gaza.
Oh, I think they'd love to leave Gaza if they had an option. Right now, they don't have an option. What are they going to do? They have to go back to Gaza. But what is Gaza? There's practically not a building standing. And they're very dangerous. You know, those buildings are shifting and they're falling down all over the place. And there's gunfire all over. It's going to be that way for a while.
Mr. President, wouldn't it have made more sense to evacuate people while the war was ongoing rather than now when there's a ceasefire?
Which is what you're talking about.
But it was more dangerous when there were strikes overhead than now.
Well, the strikes could start tomorrow. There's not a lot left to strike. It's a demolition site. The whole place is demolished. It's unsafe. It's unsanitary. It's not a place where people want to live. They have no alternative but to go back. If we gave them an alternative of living in a beautiful open place with some, you know, nice quarters there, nice housing of sorts, and we have the money in the Middle East to build that.
Do you support Israelis actually moving back and creating settlements?
Not necessarily. No, I just support cleaning it up and doing something with it. But it's failed for many decades. And somebody will be sitting here in 10 years or 20 years from now, and they'll be going through the same stuff, the wars. And you know, they've had civilizations on Gaza, many civilizations on Gaza, and they're buried in the sand.
Secretary Rubio, Elon
Musk, how often are you talking to him? And have there been ideas that he's brought to you that you've said, oh, no, wait a minute, this is going a little too far?
Well, many ideas. But look, he's done a great job. Look at all the fraud that he's found in this U.S. AID. It's a disaster what the people, radical left lunatics, they have things that nobody would have even believed. The whole thing with $100 million spent on you know what, with money going to all sorts of groups that shouldn't deserve to get any money, with the money. I'd like to see what the kickbacks are. How much money has been kicked back? Who would spend that kind of money to some of the things that you read about and I read about and I see every night on the news and every morning when I read the papers? Who would spend money for that? I would say this, the people that got all that money, are they kicking it back to the people that gave it from government? No, that's, to me, very, very corrupt. The real question is, how much of a kickback has there been? And one of the things I want to investigate rapidly, because I've never seen anything to this extent, the train that's being built between Los Angeles and San Francisco is the worst managed project I think I've ever seen, and I've seen some of the worst. Billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars over budget. In fact, I read where you could take every single person that was going to go on the train and get the finest limousine service in the world and take them back and forth with limousines, and you'd have hundreds of billions of dollars left over. It is the worst thing, and we're going to start an investigation in that because it's not possible. I built for a living, and I built on time, on budget. It's impossible that something could cost that much. And now it's not even going to San Francisco, and it's not going to Los Angeles. They made it much shorter. So now it's at little places way away from San Francisco and way away from Los Angeles. No, we're going to start a big investigation on that because I've never seen anything like it. Nobody has ever seen anything like it. The worst overruns that there have ever been in the history of our country. And it wasn't even necessary. I would have said, you don't buy it. You take an airplane. It costs you $2. It costs you nothing. You take an airplane. But this got started. And if you have to, you drive. You can drive.
Are there other agencies?
They have hundreds of billions of dollars of cost overruns. And it's not even the same project. It's much shorter. It's way outside of San Francisco and way outside of Los Angeles. So we're going to be looking into
that. Who's going to investigate that? Is that Doge who's going to investigate the train?
No, I'm doing that myself.
Some of these Doge engineers that Elon Musk has helping him are as young as 19 years
old. That's good. They're very smart, though, Peter. They're like you. They're very smart people.
Thank you. Have you met any of these guys?
No, I haven't seen them. They work actually out of the White House. They're smart people. Unlike what they do in the control towers, where we need smart people, we should use some of them in the control towers, where we were putting people that were actually intellectually deficient. That was one of the qualifications, is you could be intellectually deficient. No, we need smart people. Some are young and some are not young. Some are not young at all, but they found great things. Look at the list of things. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll read off a list of 15 or 20 things that they found inside of the USAID. It's has to be corrupt. Nobody could approve that. They could only approve that if they were getting kickbacks. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
And it sounds like you're going to wind down USAID.
It sounds like it. I mean, I think so. Yeah.
So when that happens, which
good
part of the government?
Well, I can see Marco Rubio being in charge, State Department, because they're giving money to. I mean, some of the money is well spent, I guess, but much of it is really fraudulent.
And on the
it's a propaganda arm for the CIA.
Why nominate Linda McMahon to be the Education Department Secretary if you're going to get rid of the Education Department?
Because I told Linda, I hope you do a great job and put yourself out of a job. I want her to put herself out of a job, Education Department. So we're ranked number 40 out of 40 schools, right? We're ranked number one in cost per pupil. So we spend more per pupil than any other country in the world. And we're ranked at the bottom of the list. We're ranked very badly. And what I want to do is let the states run schools. I believe strongly in school choice. But in addition to that, I want the states to run schools. And I want Linda to put herself out of a job.
Do you think that's something you can do with an executive order? Are you going to ask Congress to do it? I'd like to be able to.
Look, if I could give the schools back to Iowa and Idaho and Indiana and all these places that run properly, there's many of them. I think.
Great.
So if you look at the list, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, believe it or not, China's doing very well on that list, a list of well-educated, you know, where they run their school system well. You have a lot of countries, not surprising names. I think that if you moved our schools into some of these states that are really well-run states, they would be as good as Denmark and Norway and Sweden and some of the other states. And then you'd have the laggards, and you know who they are. I don't have to go to it, but you'd have the laggards, the same laggards that are laggards with everything else, including crime. But even them, you'll break it into systems. As an example, if you went to New York, you go to Westchester County, you go to Dutchess County, you go to Suffolk and Long Island.
By the way, Linda McMahon doesn't need the money. You have She's
maybe
super
six or
rich.
Seven locations, and you have New York City, which would include the five boroughs. And I think even that would run much better than it does right now. Same thing with Los Angeles or California. You'd have Riverside. You'd break it up into six or seven people. But most of them would be states, and you'd have one. Like in Iowa, you give it to the state of Iowa. You give it to the state of Indiana. These are really well-run states. They don't have debt. They don't have problems. They don't have any crimes, you know, relatively speaking, to speak of. And you would have education that would be the equivalent of Norway and Denmark and various other places that are at the top of the list. So we're at the bottom of the list, and we're the most expensive. We're at the top of the list when it comes to cost per pupil. We spend more money per pupil than any other nation in the world, and yet we're rated number 40. The last ratings came out, you saw them. So they talk about 40 countries, we're rated number 40. And I say that if we did this, we would go 20, 30 notches up. We could do great. And we would have some of the best districts in the world.
But are you looking to do that with an executive order, sir? Or do you need to work with Congress?
Well, there are some people that say I could. I think I'd work with Congress. I think we'd have to work with the teachers union, because the teachers union is the only one that's opposed to it. Nobody else.
Exactly.
Want to hold it back.
Exactly.
But we have to tell the teachers union. We're rated last in the world in education of the top 40. We're rated. We were 38.
All right, we're going to have to jump out of this. We'll come back to it, though, on the other side of the hour. But we have to run a couple spots here. But this is a big deal. And Netanyahu's coming to the White House today. It's going to be a very, very impactful day. And again, if you're just joining us, Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy, they're all going to get confirmed. So it's a quick break. We'll come right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.